This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's a twist of the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees. Now it's, you can't see the city because of all those buildings. The city is made up of more than just buildings. There are significant landmarks and icons that we get a boost out of just being able to eyeball, even though they are just miles away. Now, the San Antonio City Council is considering more protections for those views and vistas around the historic places of San Antonio, our favorite landmarks and cultural resources that make up who we are. But what are the limitations for growth and development that come with protected view sheds? What views do you want to see protected in San Antonio? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us, TPR Source. We're joined this afternoon by Ana Sandoval, the San Antonio City Council representative for District 7, and Shannon Miller, director of the Office of Historic Preservation for the City of San Antonio. It's great to have you both in the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so Councilwoman Sandoval, tell me about view sheds and why. What do you want to protect?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having us here. So San Antonio, we all know, is a culturally very rich city, and there are some wonderful buildings and landmarks that we have here. And the purpose of this initiative is to make sure that we preserve those views for our future generations, but also for our visitors. You know, when maybe you've been taking a flight to San Antonio and you look at the in-flight magazine and there's some wonderful pictures about things that you should come see in San Antonio. And, you know, what happens if you get there and that view's no longer there? So I think we want to think about protecting these views for our future generations and for, you know, our tourism industry as well. And it really just makes our city richer and more culturally vibrant if we can save a few of those snapshots for admiration.
So which are the ones that are at the top of the list?
Well, the Office of Historic Preservation, which Shannon leads, led a fairly robust public engagement process to get input on what are the views that matter to people here in San Antonio. And I'll speak to the one in District 7, which came to the top. It was one of the top four views. It's the view from Woodlawn Lake toward downtown. You can see the Basilica of the Little Flower. It is just a gorgeous view from the pier across the lake, and the basilica is right there. And I'll also mention that 2018 is the 100-year anniversary of Woodlawn Lake as a park, and it coincides with our tricentennial. So we thought this was a really important step to take in commemoration of the 100-year of the anniversary of the park. So I'm really glad it came up as one of the top four views that people admire in the city.
Shannon Miller with the Office of Historic Preservation for the City of San Antonio, what are the concerns about a view shed?
Well, obviously, as the councilwoman said, you know, people are concerned about preserving those views that are kind of iconic or cultural views.
So what are we preserving them from?
Well,
a billboard?
Potentially. I mean, it is basically a height restriction. So it could be any type of construction that would block that view. And as the councilwoman mentioned, we've done extensive public input through this initiative. And so basically we ask people to submit views that they think are iconic and important in the city. And then we did a survey where people could kind of vote which ones they thought were in fact important. And so the ones that rose to the top that we are recommended to City Council to explore further are the Woodlawn Lake view towards downtown, as the councilwoman mentioned, San Fernando Cathedral, the Tower Life Building, and then the Hayes Street Bridge.
All right, I'm going to go to a caller. This is Felix. The number is 210-614-8980. And Felix, I'm going to click the button here. Felix, you're on the air. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to express concern with the direction of the view shed ordinance, and I do commend the city for taking the initiative of exploring that as an option. My concern is the impact it will have on the growth and the progress of our great city and future development. And I can't think of any other kind of first-class cities that have this type of restriction in place. I mean, I just came back from a trip to Europe, and there's so much history over there. You're talking thousands of years versus 300 years. And historic views and structures are in synchronous harmony with new development. And I don't think view shed protection is as big of a concern over there. You're talking about, you know, 1,000-year-old buildings that are in the main plaza surrounded by, you know, 5-story and 7-story apartment structures and hotels. So I think that the direction the city would be taking in establishing these view sheds, it would be a direct violation of property rights, and I don't think it's the right direction to go.
Okay, Felix, thank you so much for that call. I'm really glad that you called in with those. So how would this impact growth and development?
So the approach that we're taking on this initiative is to be very strategic about what eventually the views might be recommended for adoption. And I also want to point out that the Viewshed Protection Overlay District actually exists today in the UDC. It's not a new initiative. There is a Viewshed Overlay at the Alamo currently. And, you know, it hasn't hindered development in the vicinity of the view corridor. And there are also a number of other cities that do, in fact, have view corridors. Austin is a good close example. There are a number of view corridors that protect the view of the Capitol. And, you know, you can clearly see in downtown Austin, development has not been hindered. It just, you know, the view corridors are designed in such a way that they don't preclude development, but they may shape it. So you direct height away from the view that you're trying to preserve.
We're going to hear from Austin in just a little bit and get more details about how they preserve the view of the Capitol. But when you talk about the Alamo and protecting that, I mean, the Alamo is it's not a big building. I mean, it's not. What are you protecting it from? How does that work?
So for the one at the Alamo, so basically the viewshed protection overlay in general is a single directional view. So it's from one point. In the case of the Alamo, it is a point in front of the kind of iconic parapet wall of the chapel. And the idea is that you should always be able to take that photograph with the blue sky behind the famous Alamo parapet roof line. And so it's a height restriction behind the chapel.
So we don't get a lot of commercial buildings behind it. And so we have a point where we realize from here, it's like a 3D model going forward towards the east, that needs to remain clear.
Correct.
And that has not hindered business development.
No.
Okay. And so Anna Sandoval?
I just wanted to address some of the concerns expressed by the caller, and I could see that at first blush, anyone would be concerned about private property rights when you talk about restrictions in buildings and what goes up or how high. Absolutely. That is, I'll tell you, council is definitely concerned about our economic development, our future as a city. So we are taking this very cautiously and with what I would say is a very balanced approach. You know, Shannon did not come to us with a list of 100 sites to landmark. She came with us with a very select list. And I think the idea of having a very select list is saying, you know, these four areas can actually, if those views still exist in the future, can contribute to our economic development because they're places people want to come visit.
We're going to talk more about those items on the list. And what do you want to have on the list? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this 1 minute break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The views of San Antonio, not the opinions of San Antonio, but what do you actually see when you look through the blue, clear skies of the city? And hopefully it's not just going to be billboards and other industrial images, but it's also going to be part of the San Antonio history and icons that have shaped us. Would we want to keep those views preserved? That's what we're talking about today, viewshed protection. The number is 210-614-8980. We said before the break that Austin has been very active, and they've got rules in place to protect views of the Capitol, the Texas State Capitol. And we're joined now by Scott Grantham. He is the senior planner for the city of Austin. And Scott, welcome to The Source.
Hello, Dave. Happy to be here today.
So tell me about what are the restrictions? What's the viewshed restriction situation in Austin?
Well, we have a total of 30 viewsheds, or as we call them, Capitol view corridors. These were adopted by the state of Texas and also by the city of Austin. So We actually share quite a few of these. In a few cases, the state and city have adopted slightly different versions of the corridors. For instance, the city has slightly larger corridors in a few locations. So sometimes they're defined as a total of 35 corridors. And they sort of fan out from the Capitol, the State House building, and they really go several different places. Sometimes it's a stretch of roadway that you can view the Capitol from. Sometimes it's just a glimpse that you can catch of the Capitol as you're passing by. One thing is that, just to define it, the view corridor itself is a plane that extends from a defined viewpoint or points to the base of the Capitol dome. So really, the main reason for it, or the main what you get to see there, is you get to see the Capitol dome from these different locations. And it just depends where you're seeing it from, and what span of time, or what width of location you get to see it from.
Many people are familiar with the iconic image of Congress Street, being able to look up the street and you see the businesses and cars and other activity, but you see the Capitol right there framed in the center of the shot, and it's very moving to see it, to see that.
That's
and,
right.
And then the idea is to not let anyone suddenly mar that view.
That's right, and there is the very iconic view from South Congress. There's another one from the South Mall of the University of Texas. There are actually a few from the highways. So on the upper deck of I-35, there's a protected view. There's another one from MOPAC, from the MOPAC Bridge. That's our Missouri Pacific Highway. And there are a few others that are lesser known. So there's one that's actually just a few feet wide, that's from the historic French Legation. So they are many different places in town, and are all protected.
And what would you say the value of that is? You know, why? So it's nice to be able to see the Capitol from all these different locations, but, you know, how do you monetize that?
That's a great question. I would say, first of all, Dave, that the value of being able to see the state capital that effectively belongs to all of us as Texans is incalculable. You are really getting to see where the state government takes place and where things are voted on. And in addition to its symbolic value, it's also just a beautiful building. People have talked about how would we analyze this? How would we calculate what the value is? And it's a difficult thing, because really, when you're looking at these corridors, sometimes how do they affect property, and how does it interface with a particular property? It may clip a corner of a property, or it may actually cover the entire property. So it really depends on the effect of that. But here in Austin, we've seen that some architects and developers have been able to be very creative with that. For instance, if a corridor cuts through half of their site, they're able to build a smaller pedestal under one portion and then pop up a larger tower on the other.
And so do some agents, real estate agents, do they market the fact that you do have a view of the Capitol? That also is a value added to a property.
I haven't seen it, Dave, on any particular marketing materials, but I think that it is implicit in the value of being in that location. Certainly, if you were along South Congress, or if you were, say, on at 11th Street, these are places where it's known that you can see the Capitol.
Let me go take a caller here. The number is 210-614-8980. Alan is on the line. Alan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And on the height restrictions, whether they work or not, in Kailua, Hawaii, way back when they put a height restriction, nothing could be built taller than the church steeple. And you could, from out at sea or on the beach, you can see the whole old city, and it's beautiful. And then out from just outside the city limits, you've got all your tall hotels and everything, and they're not marring the city, the view of the city. It's beautiful. Go there sometime and look at it.
So, okay, Alan, thank you for that. So we hear how that forethought as preserving that view in Hawaii has helped preserve that. But so Scott Grantham over at the city of Austin, and you're the senior planner there. Austin has seen, you know, of course, all sorts of growth and development and crunching, you know, there's a crunch for housing there. People want to be able to build, but are they being like told that they can't do certain things because of this view shed of the Capitol?
First, to clarify, my title is senior planner. I'm not the senior over all of the planning department.
But
in answer to your question, Dave, the Capitol View corridors limit the height in these certain areas, and basically this is something that's been pretty well known for a long time. This ordinance goes back to 1983, and in that space of time, back in those days in the 80s, there was a lot less development pressure, a lot less people wanting to live downtown. Now there is more development pressure. There are cranes all over our skyline. But what we're finding really is that people are finding ways to build around these corridors and to put development in other places. As I mentioned before, they can work creatively with the corridors, or they can simply find other properties that are not within a corridor.
Okay, I'm going to take another caller. This is from Richelle. And Richelle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an Austinite. I live in San Antonio now. But, when I cross the street of Congress and I look up the street and I see the Capitol, it strikes me. It brings tears to my eyes. It's emotional, you know. I grew up there. It's my house. It's my home. And it brings a value to the city that, you know, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, but it's definitely there. So, you know, and I've been to Europe, and I feel like that those restrictions are there. They really value also, and they plan how they build their cities. And I hope that San Antonio will as well.
All right, Michelle, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. And your last comment, Scott, before we let you go.
Well, I would just say that this is going to continue to be a point of discussion as both of our cities, San Antonio and Austin, continue to develop, because it's really a question of what is the value of these iconic views. They certainly bring a lot to our cities, but it does come at a cost, because there is if these protections weren't there, if these view sheds weren't there, then it's possible that more buildings could be built, more housing potentially, and just more development could occur.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott Grantham, for joining us. He is a senior planner at the City of Austin Planning Department. Now, over to Anna Sandoval, San Antonio City Council Representative for District 7, and your reaction to, as we talked about, what's happening in Austin and what we can learn from what they've done there.
Sure. So, like, the planner was, the senior planner was telling us, and Shannon was telling us that it really, the viewshed corridors, and I wouldn't exactly call them restrictions. I'd call them like an overlay, what you say is a zoning overlay district, really help guide the development. And I want to give an example of something like that in San Antonio, and I think we can all relate to this. If you have been, now this is not a protected viewshed corridor by the city. If you've been out to the Pearl, which many of us have, it's a beautiful building. And when that area was redeveloped, the entrance to the Pearl was moved so that the Pearl Parkway would line up directly with the dome of the brewery. That corridor where you go into the Pearl, that's what we call a viewshed. So inherently by their design, they have protected that view because, you know, nothing's going to be built in that roadway, right? But as you walk in, you can see that. So I think we can probably agree that that brings great value to the Pearl, right? A lot of its value is really because of how, not just the amenities that it offers, but how, and the fact that it's walkable and it's a great space and it's close to the river. I could go on and on. But that view is really kind of like the icing on the cake that a lot of us really just get a thrill out of seeing it when we go there. So imagine if that view weren't there. And that's why we really need to consider viewshed protection in other areas. Now, I also want to point out that view isn't protecting the whole building. It is really just protecting that little slice of the view as you walk into the Pearl. And that's what we're looking at with these potential viewshed protections. We're not talking about restricting or protecting a 360-degree view. We are going to basically go in with a chisel and see, or staff is going to go in with a chisel and with members of the community and see, okay, what is the most valuable view that we would want to protect here?
From one point to another point.
Exactly. And the view would only be protected from a public location. So it's not like I can be on my balcony and say, all right, protect this view for me. It's where am I? That's a public space. And what's the view from that area so that everyone can enjoy it, not just some people.
And Shannon Miller?
Yeah, I would add also just to underscore what the councilwoman said about working with the community. We are recommending to City Council that we pursue these four sites for further exploration for potential viewsheds, but they are not set in stone yet. Like, the idea would be if council agrees with us, we would then initiate a public engagement process for each of the four sites to identify exactly which view it is the public is interested in protecting and exactly what that viewshed overlay district should look like.
And so the places we're talking about right now are the Hayes Street Bridge, Tower of Life building, Woodlawn Lake to the Basilica Little Flower,
and San Fernando Cathedral.
San Fernando Cathedral. We already have things in place for the Alamo and for the other missions, right?
Correct. The mission protection overlay districts on the four southern missions are a little different because those are 360-degree views. So it's a different type of overlay, but it is a similar concept, of course.
So I'm wondering about other locations. I mean, maybe the main library, you know, which is iconic, which I can see from here, from my office. And also, I think the Temple Bethel, all these other places. What do you think? What are some places? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The view of the Alamo, San Fernando Cathedral, Hayes Street Bridge, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower. These are iconic images of San Antonio. Are they endangered of being lost from our view, being able to see them from certain locations in San Antonio? How can we protect them? We're talking about view sheds this afternoon. What are some locations that you think deserve view shed protection? What do you think about these locations? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Earlier, we heard from a caller, Felix, and he asked about, he was bringing up Europe, and he said that they don't have these viewshed things in Europe, and Europe's full of historic places. So can you respond to that? Anna Sandoval, District 7 City Councilwoman.
Thank you. Well, actually, a country like, say, Italy has, or other places in Europe will have UNESCO sites.
Like Florence?
Exactly, with protected views as well. I think Shannon can probably speak better to the details being involved in the missions process.
Yeah, I mean, for example, here, it's not, I mean, obviously we created the specific mission protection overlay districts as part of our process to be inscribed as a World Heritage Site. But all around the world, they have tools because World Heritage Sites have buffer zones. And so each of the buffer zones will have restrictions in order to preserve the character of the UNESCO site itself. And so, you know, of course, every country has different mechanisms for making those protections. So it might not be exactly the way we would apply them, but they certainly have those protections in place.
The number to call in if you've got an idea, a suggestion, or a criticism of ViewSheds, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We also heard some caller, I think it was Felix, who said about the concern about development. So what's the developer community telling you about this? Are they pushing back?
So we have heard from, you know, a number of members of the development community, and we've met extensively with them and with the Real Estate Council, for example, and then other people who are doing development in downtown. And honestly, I think we all share the same concern and desire. We want to see economic development happen in our city. But obviously this is a proactive conversation to be able to think about where we want that development to occur and where we want the height to occur, and not preclude it, but just be very strategic about where it should be placed in a particular, on a particular property, so that we can also preserve things like views that are important.
Now, the Hayes Street Bridge is an interesting selection here because it's got this controversial apartment complex that's happening right next to it, and we've talked about it before, and we know that the city manager has approved this controversial apartment complex despite, you know, the recommendation otherwise. So what's happening? How do we talk about ViewShed protection, yet at the same time the city of San Antonio is allowing the construction of this apartment complex? Ana Sandoval.
Oh, that's the question I was waiting for, David. I think, I just came into council last year, and obviously the development around the Hay Street Bridge has been a long time in the works, including the restoration of the bridge. And I think for me, and probably a number of community members, the fact that a building may be going up and blocking the view of this landmark, right, which had a lot of community participation to restore, it was sort of a wake-up call. Like, okay, this project may go forward, but what about other iconic views in San Antonio that we consider part of our identity? You know, some people argue on whether or not the Hay Street Bridge is iconic. They do. However, I think the process that Shannon led really asks the community to define that for us. So I completely believe that the Shrine of the Little Flower is an iconic view, especially from Woodland Lake, or that the
or even driving up I-10 from downtown, it comes during sunset. It's
beautiful. All right, you've just suggested another ViewShed corridor, David. we're gonna write
get me
down.
Off the air before I come up with more. Let me get another caller here, and we'll continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. This is Julia, and the number is 210-614-8980. Julia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm interested in really how much protection these overlays have. For one thing, there was a Broadway corridor overlay, a river overlay, and a Mankey Park overlay that said we couldn't build any buildings over 5 stories. And yet, if you go to Incarnate Word, you'll see right across the street an apartment, a condo building that's over 20 stories.
All right, Julia. So let me throw that to our experts here. Shannon Miller, do you...
Sure. We do have a number of different types of overlays. I can't speak to that particular project without looking into the details, but I believe that may be outside of the River Improvement Overlay District. River Improvement Overlay District does have multiple sections based on where you are along the river, and so there are height restrictions depending on whether you're in Rio 1 or 2 or 4 or 6. So there are there are some differences depending on where you are along the river. And then there are other types of corridor overlays. But in the case of the viewshed overlay, it really is just about height. And oftentimes it is it's not a uniform height. It may be, you know, the further away you are from the particular view, you may still be able to build taller than you would be able to build if you were really close to it. And so it is a kind of a gradual thing. And so it's very site specific. And we want to continue making sure that that is our approach to each of these sites. And your, you know, earlier you asked the question about Hay Street Bridge, and I think it's important to point out that, you know, there are multiple views of these different landmarks. And so we're really trying to work with the community to identify the view that is the most significant that we want to try to protect. And while there likely will be construction on that particular property that you mentioned, because that process is already underway, and the viewshed overlay initiative would not impact that particular development, but there are a number of other views of the bridge. And so, you know, I think sometimes people feel like if this happens, then we've lost something significant. And I just think we have to remember that there are many views of the bridge that could be protected, and that we still there's very much a conversation to be had about what that could look like for Hay Street Bridge.
I'm wondering if we're having enough discussions citywide, because this is very localized for one community to another. And like, you know, we grew up Woodlawn Lake, and so we know that area very well, and we'd hate to lose that view. But if you grew up at Elmendorf Lake, you know, you would probably hate to see something blocking the view of Our Lady of Lake, you know, or some other iconic images. And so, I mean, this is something that we should be having a conversation, you know, very localized across San Antonio to see, you know, what people value and make sure that it's not just a centralized, we're talking about, downtown type places. I mean, that said, you know, the number is 210-614-8980 if you want to talk about your neighborhood and what you want to see preserved. And Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question about, are they going to protect the view of the Tower of the Americas? Because when they built the large hotel downtown, it didn't look like any consideration was given to protecting the Tower of the Americas view.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for that call. And so Shannon Miller with the Office of Historic Preservation. Tower of the Americas, I mean, it's so big. You got to wonder about that.
Yeah, and so obviously that is a site that has come up in this process, and there's been a lot of discussion about it. But similar to what Councilwoman Sandoval pointed out at the Pearl, there's currently master planning going on at Hemisphere by H Park, and their master plan is laid out in such a way to preserve the views of the Tower of the Americas. And so in doing an assessment of whether or not viewshed protections are really warranted for that, we really determined that there are kind of sufficient protections in place, because H Park understands the value of the Tower of the Americas and how iconic it is to the community. And it is certainly in their interest and everyone else's interest to make sure that landmark is celebrated and not blocked from view.
So that would be looking at the view from the tower, being able to see certain San Antonio landmarks. Because, I mean, you know, what's going to block the tower? It is so massive. I mean, what do you do?
It's very true. And in fact, you know, just when I leave here, I'm going to drive back downtown, and most of the way I'll be able to see the Tower of the Americas.
It keeps me from getting lost half the time.
So
before GPS, we had the tower.
It would be very hard to really, truly block the view of the Tower of the Americas. And your question about from, actually that hasn't really come up in the public input that we've received. It's always been a view to the Tower of the Americas. But, you know, it's such a tall building, and it does have so many great panoramic views that we just don't really think that in that particular case, it's threatened.
I think if you got anyone to flat earther, take them to the top of the tower and you will see the curvature of the earth, and that should be in that conversation. So here are some of the other locations that are being talked about, being considered by the Office of Historic Preservation. So we've got the Riverwalk, Arneson River Theater, Japanese Tea Gardens, the Sunken Gardens, the Mission Drive-In Marquee, and the Main Plaza, Espada Dam, Comanche Lookout Park. So this, it's kind of spread out over San Antonio, different parts of areas.
Yeah, there are a number of, as I mentioned earlier, the Viewshed Overlay District is already currently in the UDC. And the way it's written right now, there's just a list of landmarks that are eligible for viewsheds. And so the reason that we started this initiative is because we needed to make some changes to that enabling legislation in order to allow for views of things like Woodlawn Lake. And so we're really expanding the definition of what might be eligible for a viewshed, but at the same time, we're proposing new criteria by which the views would have to be measured so that people can't just be frivolous about it. It has to be a truly iconic or cultural view.
So we'll talk about those standards and what the community wants. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the value of viewsheds in San Antonio, talk of protection of them, and what would that cost be to development and future growth in San Antonio. What do we owe future generations of San Antonians being able to see many of the iconic landmarks that we enjoy today, making sure that your grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be able to see those exact same views or very close to them? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And we're joined by Anna Sandoval, City of San Antonio representative from District 7, and Shannon Miller, with the director of the Office of Historic Preservation with the City of San Antonio. So, when you said earlier about the Hay Street Bridge and whether or not it's a historic landmark or not, I mean, it's been designated that way. And I think if you grew up on that east side neighborhood, Dignity Hill, and you use that bridge, or your grandparents use that bridge to access downtown San Antonio, then it was, or your family, then it would have been of value to you. So, I mean, so it's very localized.
Yes, it could be. But I think since the restoration, the rest of the city has really come to appreciate it. For those of us who attended the State of the City event held not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, the mayor showed a video that he had made especially for the event. And the backdrop of that video was the Hay Street Bridge. Like, that was the filming location.
Yeah, it's an airport.
For it. So yeah. I think it does have a lot of value. But I think something that we're learning from that really long process is we don't really want to be in this situation again, right? So doing viewshed protection before the development is, you know, underway or in the plans really helps us do a more objective process, and the process is less adversarial if we do it now than if we wait until something is about to be developed on it and an investment has already been made.
Right, and that's what makes this process with the Hay Street Bridge such a salient moment, you know, that we're going to learn from this and move on. Let's get a caller on the air. This is Zena. Zena, welcome to The Source. You're on there.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
So I wanted to ask, with the redevelopment of the city, what are we going to do about the affordable housing? Because when cities get more metropolitan, they typically push out the areas where it's cheaper to live in.
Okay, Zena, thank you for the call. So, you know, we all need housing, and is that going to be a problem? Try as we develop maybe high-density housing in San Antonio in certain locations, don't want to block views. I know there's been apartment complexes that had been proposed and had to be re-envisioned for around the missions, you know, so this has come up.
It certainly comes up. And, you know, obviously the city understands the importance of affordable housing in our community. And, you know, the mayor has a task force on housing, and that issue is certainly at the forefront for a lot of people. And we understand that the density helps to both allow, like, not face pressure us to build more sprawl, but it also helps with affordability, or it can. And so, you know, none of this initiative would be intended to kind of preclude that development. Again, it really is about shaping it so that we can accomplish multiple goals at one time. I mean, we want to have development, we want housing, we want economic growth, but we also want to preserve that which makes our community special. Because that also contributes to our economic value and growth.
Got an email from Lynn. by slightly improving views of a few marginally important structures and by extension limiting population density in downtown areas, are we not forcing the development of ever more far-flung suburbs? Are we not contributing to traffic congestion, loss of green space, and the problem of cul-de-sac life? So is that a trade-off that we're making here? Or I would imagine that data would tell the story.
Yeah, I think that's definitely not the intent, obviously. And, you know, we did a report a couple of years ago on the economic impacts of historic preservation in the community. And actually, our downtown Central City historic neighborhoods, whether they're designated or not, are more dense than the city. In general, than typical residential communities, it's obviously at a human scale. It's density that we feel comfortable about, and we really would encourage that continued kind of infill in our existing neighborhoods in a way that is consistent with the character, but does add additional housing opportunities and business opportunities in those existing communities.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a stretch to blame urban sprawl on a viewshed protection. Let's go to Albert. He's on the line. And Albert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello. How y'all doing?
Okay. Go ahead.
So I know there was some discussion on the Pearl Brewery, but specifically there was a building that was built just to the south of the Pearl, which blocked the view from 35. And I make that drive every day, and I feel like that's a big loss to the city right there, that view.
Okay. So all we can look back and see this is what we don't want to have happen into the future, Ana Sandoval?
Exactly. I think the caller really points out the importance of some of these protections. And he actually, you have an emotional tie to this view and you would really like to enjoy it. So yeah, that's exactly why we're doing something, or one of the reasons why it's important to pursue this proposal.
Okay, another caller, and this is Graciela. Graciela, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to thank Ana for incorporating this whole CCR and talking about viewshed. My concern is that since 2011, the Conservation Society tried to save the view of the bridge, and then in 2014, the historic restoration group that helped to save the bridge also asked the city in mediation when we won the lawsuit to save the view of the bridge from Cherry and Lamar, very specifically. And in both of those cases, the city has just kind of ignored those requests. So we're not here just because people have ignored that. We've been working really hard to save a historic, not only a local, a state historic, and a national historic bridge. And what is being proposed, unless it's saved from Cherry Lamar, it is going to be the Pearl. And I also drive on Highway 35, and I have lost that view. And it's really sad that it shouldn't just take you to go inside the Pearl to see that view. You should be able to see it like we used to see it. And it will be a major loss for San Antonio. Economically, culturally, and socially, it'll be a loss for the city.
All right, Graciela. I can tell that's Graciela Sanchez from the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, one of the major players in trying to preserve the Hay Street Bridge. And Ana Sandoval, do you want to reply to that?
I do. Thank you for your call, Graciela. And I really do want to thank all the groups and the individuals who have worked on restoring the bridge and protecting the bridge. I think that the work that they do is very valuable, and I do think it's really unfortunate that we're in this that this adversarial situation came to be, and this is something that, you know, we don't want a repeat of this in the future, and our proposal hopefully helps us get there. But another thing that I'm doing separate from this proposal is a proposal to improve the public participation processes that the city leads so that there is really meaningful public participation. And I think the Office of Historic Preservation has a lot of models that we can apply to other processes in the city, and to make sure the stakeholders are at the table and that we work together instead of against one another.
So yeah, one of our we had a Twitter question: define community with the engagement process. Who exactly are we talking to, and who is the community?
Well, and I think that's a very important question. And so when we do move forward with whichever sites council ultimately agrees that we should continue exploring, we would invite all surrounding property owners. We would invite the community at large through multiple means how to get the word out. And then, you know, other stakeholder groups, like, for example, at Hay Street Bridge, there is the Hay Street Bridge Restoration Group and the Dignity Hill. You know, we would invite the related neighborhood associations. The San Antonio Conservation Society has been a strong partner and involved in the technical committee. And then also, of course, property owners and potential developers as well, because we need to have input from all communities to make sure that we're taking into account the most significant view and we're being as strategic and kind of critical about how we approach this.
And the city council is not of one mind on this. There are several members that are critical, and they are very concerned about what this does mean for San Antonio development. So are we going to come up with a compromise solution on the Sandoval, or what's being proposed?
I mean, I think that's what government is, right, is compromise. So I think we'll so at this point, what's happened is one of the committees has approved moving forward with these four locations and looking at them more in detail, like Shannon mentioned. Now it's up to the full council to approve that process going forward and giving OHP the blessing to start that. So if that gets approved, then those processes begin. They come back either with no view, if that's the, you know, with the community or the stakeholders, the conclusion they've come to, or with select views. And then at that point, city council makes a decision whether or not to approve.
And so they will be looking at, the city council will be these designated areas, or creating a process through the Office of Historic Preservation to make those decisions on its own.
Yeah, the next step would be for council to pass a resolution directing us to further explore whichever sites they direct us to explore. We're recommending the four sites that we've discussed. If council agrees, then the Office of Historic Preservation would initiate public input process for each of the four sites. And as the councilwoman said, we would then take that feedback and come back to the council with a recommendation for maybe no view, if that's the ultimate recommendation, or maybe we would clearly define what the view would be, and then we would show the city council what impact that might have, you know, where what property owners would be impacted,
and there's a lot of opportunities for community input along the way.
Absolutely.
All right. Talking about view shed here protection on this edition of The Source, I want to thank Ana Sandoval, the district representative for District 7, and Shannon Miller, the director of the Office of Historic Preservation for the City of San Antonio. And thanks for tuning us in.